Well, hello there, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Confessions of a PYP Teacher. My name is Lou Gerlach with Think Chat, and welcome to confession number 134 as we continue our book club on culturally responsive teaching and the brain by Zaretta Hammond. We're going to focus on supporting culturally responsive relationships with our learners. It expands from pages 72 to 87. So get a copy of your book, my friends, in hand so that you can have certain reference points and an open mind and maybe something lovely to drink. So something I've been thinking about is how do we build sustainable, lasting relationships with our learners? And why is it that this is oftentimes not a priority in many elementary classrooms? And some of you are going to say, "What? I always build with relationship building." But are you? Are you building systems? Are you building community? Are you building routines? But is that the same thing as getting to know your learners personally, knowing their curiosities, their traumas, their triggers, their successes, their dreams? Are we getting to know our students that way? And honestly, I can quite honestly, I would say it was a hit or miss with me because of being an insecure teacher. Within the first 10 years, I'll be honest, in your first kind of 10 years, I tried to build a lot of relationships because that's the type of person I am. I'm a hearts and rainbows and unicorns kind of gal, born in the 70s, was a awake in the 80s kind of thing. And the one thing that I know is that I'm not the type to be mean till Christmas and then start being nice. I'm nice out the gate, but it's about honoring the routines and the systems that we have by being human with children so that they see us as fallible people who make mistakes. And I think that's important as we're trying to define who we are as a classroom. And let us be clear though, there is a teacher and there is a friend. And I was never a friend with my students. And I wasn't a dictator either. My learners, we established some clear expectations of how the behavior would look. And was I a hearts, a warm fuzzies kind of girl? Yes. But when you cross the line, you cross the line, and I'd give you that teacher stare, right? The kind that your mama gave you every time you messed up and you just wanted to cringe. Kind of like when my dog does something naughty and leaves me a present, and he'll look at me and then his little brows will go up and look down because he knows he's guilty, right? And so, thinking about that, how do we kind of find a common ground? And in some schools, I felt like I could flourish and really build deep relationships with students, and others, it was all about the teaching. And one thing I found as I found my voice as an educator more and more is I realized I can't exist at those places that are forcing me to be what I'm not, because then I'm not doing what's right for kids. And Hammond talks about at the core of positive relationships is trust. Caring is the way that we generate the trust that builds relationships. And when you think about that, right, building these relationships, it's really fascinating because when we just go deep into the teaching, Hammond points out that too often, though, we ignore the quality of our interactions with students. Instead, focus primarily on the curriculum. So, one thing that I suggest is that instead of jumping right into the curriculum, And you can build routines, is building those relationships to trust. And that doesn't mean just the first week of school. We do a lot of type of icebreakers and team building, and then we're like, okay, sit down and let's do the work. And I find that fascinating because I felt that pressure to get to the work, right? And not build relationships with my new staff as a coordinator. So much so that I was told, get to the meat and potatoes. We don't want this fluffy stuff. And the fluffy stuff was agency inquiry, right? Anything that was dealt with your heart. And that is a misunderstanding of teaching for authenticity, is that we have to know the child before we can create with the child. And so thinking about that, how do we build these trustworthy relationships with learners? Hammond says that we have not, sorry, we have to not only care about students in a general sense, but also actively care for them in a physical and emotional sense. Think about that one, right? Physical and emotional sense. She continues, the brain feels safest and relaxed when we are connected to others. We treat. Okay, I messed that up. The brain feels safest and relaxed when we are connected to others. We trust to treat us well. It responds to the sense of connection by secreting oxytocin. I can't say that word. Oxytocin, called the bonding hormone. Oxytocin makes us want to build a trusting relationship with the other person we are interacting with. There's a physical chemical response in our bodies when we're trying to figure out if we can trust a person. That's fascinating to me. I love this brain stuff. And as an educator, you're probably wondering, well, how do I bring about more trust with my relationships with my learners? So they feel like they can trust me, but also feel like I'm the teacher and I gotta get stuff done. And Hammond suggests that it comes through simple gestures. Think about this, such as a smile, a simple nod of the head, a pat on the back of the back, a touch on the arm, or other forms of confirming behavior. Now, there are kiddos that are hungry for these simple reassurances that we care about them. But I also recognize that there are certain children who don't like to be touched because of how they perceive the world and also trauma. So maybe then it's just tapping on a corner of a desk, right? Giving them a high five, something like that, just to let them know we've got you. And to be honest, as I think about this, doesn't everyone do this? And isn't this what we're supposed to be creating as a classroom of trust and safety? And, but I can honestly say I've seen through my 20 years classrooms that didn't have that. And because I didn't feel comfortable in their presence. Where I've seen teachers yell at learners, shove workbooks into their hands instead of teaching them, made learners feel like they were a visitor in the classroom. And I can't say that I've never done these things too, when I get frustrated, or feel pressured, but you have to fight back. And so it's really interesting. I played along at times with what was the expectation of me as an educator and realized the damage it was doing to my learners. And I quickly stopped. And one teacher once told me, this is the only way they will respond. They're like animals and will run all over us. They are like animals and will run over us if we are too nice. And I wholeheartedly disagree. I saw the same learners run up to me and shout out my name as they were walking in the hall, waving to me, giving me a hug on the way to class. And I couldn't understand how these kiddos were so disrespectful in class, yet they were so wonderful for me. And I had to step back and think, okay, this is a teacher-learner relationship. And Hammond speaks about the connection between rapport, a student knows a teacher cares about them, alliance, building a relationship of trust with cognitive insight, the ability to critically and creatively think. So let's repeat those. So she talks about, once again, rapport, which is a student knows a teacher cares about them, alliance, building relationships of trust with cognitive insight, the ability to creatively and critically think. And I sit and ponder in this simple algorithm, and I think of my own young life as a selective mute. And I think I share this because it took me a long time to realize that I was a selective mute because I was traumatized by school. And I remember in high school, I had an English teacher named Mr. Jensen, and I had him for 2 years in a row. And he was passionate about the music of Kenny G. And if you haven't looked that up, honey, okay? And he loved poetry. He loves prose. He would babble on about the power of words and how they shape our thinking of the world. And his goal for us was to connect with the ideas that we were exploring, especially for those of us who were too terrified to speak them out loud. And somehow I felt a rapport with Mr. Jensen. And soon I was trying out new ways of writing that helped me to find a little bit more of my voice. And all it takes is a little bit of trust to move our learners forward. And Hammond states, affirming is simply acknowledging the personhood of each student, appreciating all aspects of them, especially those culturally specific traits that have been negated by the dominant culture. Validation, on the other hand, is your explicit acknowledgement to students that you are aware of the inequities that impact their lives. Whoa. Repeat that. Affirming is simply acknowledging the personhood of each student, appreciating all aspects of them, especially those culturally specific traits that have been negated by the dominant culture. So I unpack that of, wow, these are the things about your culture that make you you. Wow, fantastic. But validation, on the other hand, is your explicit acknowledgement of students or to students that you are aware of the inequities that impact their lives. I know you live where you live in the conditions that you live, and I am sorry. And I know how that impacts you. I know you probably didn't get enough to eat. I know you probably didn't get enough to sleep. So how can we work with this to make you feel successful? That's validation. So how do we make this happen? Hammond suggests some listening with grace and trust indicators on page 78 to 79 that might help you. I'm more interested in something that is more specific and applicable. So your learners know you affirm their personhood. This process is going to require some vulnerability on your part so you can move this practice forward. So on pages 82 to 85, Hammond gives us step-by-step directions on how to assess your level of rapport with your students by examining a particular learner in your classroom. All right, so are you ready to find out what is happening? I will only provide some brief ideas, so you'll need to read for deeper step-by-step directions. She suggests, Identify a specific student you'd like to build a deeper partnership with. Assess the quality of your relationship with this student. Create a protocol to capture your interactions and level of listening. Keep track of your interactions and analyze the data. Identify one small change you can make to build more trust. Track this progress of this change and how it impacts your relationship. Reflect on the strategies that work, did not work, and modifications you need to make to your practice. Naturally, this is going to be a broad overview, and you need to internalize the process for yourself in your context. This is not a one-size-fits-all process, and Hammond poses a question that really resonated with me that might close this session. She asks, how would you characterize your relationship with students of color, English learners, or other students who are different from you? I can't speak for you, but I would say my response is curiosity. Yeah. I'm always wondering why people do things differently. This is why I moved to Dubai, to be honest. I wanted to know what the heck or how do they live differently over there? Why do they worship differently over there? What are the similarities between my life as a Christian to an Islamic life? I find that all curiosity. And I want to know the nuances of culture so that I can celebrate them. And I get my learners to question why do something, they do some things out of habit. And why, you know, why are some things driven by their cultural or communal connections? And oftentimes, you know, these rituals are put in place so they can remember where they come from, right? And I love that notion that we do certain things within our culture so that we can remember where we come from. And let's be better at making time to build relationships, authentic, meaningful relationships with our learners. It may be easier for us in primary or elementary homeroom teachers. It's a little bit harder for specialists and supporting teachers because you have the whole school. And it might take a bit longer, but you also get to see them beyond the single grade level. You see them through their whole progression at the school. And I'm excited to hear how you're going to take steps to build more deeper relationships with your learners. And how do we support this bridge to secondary school so that students feel seen and appreciated as they go throughout their school journey? And that these relationships don't end here in elementary school. And I'm so excited because I've decided to go back into the classroom for next year because I miss being with kids. And in a way, like all the things that maybe I didn't do so well, I want to try to be better with students. Because there are at the same time, my friends, I think what I'm trying to say is, if you've made mistakes, give yourself some grace. There are things that I did probably within the first 8 to 10 years of my teaching career that I would not do now. Because you learn more, you do more, you practice, you become better at what you do and how you act. And there are times that I was probably too lovey-dovey, where other times I was too strict. And it's about finding balance so that our learners know we've got their back. And that's all anyone wants in life, is that the person that is over them has their back no matter what. So, with that final thought, have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me on my rambling journey, and I can't wait to see you next time.